This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
That's right. It's hour three of the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. We're into the four. You know, Woolchuck's top 10 is coming up. It's right around the corner now. And Mark Schlereth is coming up at 4:40. We'll talk with the Odyssey NFL insider about week 8 of the NFL season and everything going on. Two chances to pick up your G-Bag flag this week. Thursday, Richardson Bar and Grill on Campbell. That's your next one. Then Buffalo Wild Wings in Grand Prairie on Friday. Here's the Chief with his sports hodgepodge.
It's a back-to-basketball Tuesday here. I like this as a giveaway tonight in Los Angeles with the Lakers. They're giving Jerry West jerseys to the fans, so we're seeing the Jerry West jerseys in every single seat in the building tonight.
It's quite a giveaway.
That's super cool.
That's an awesome giveaway.
But the gold ones, right?
Yeah, the gold ones. Yeah. The gold ones. Remember what number he was?
44.
44. Basketball guy of the day, Brian Broaddus. Unless I throw another fastball your way.
LeBron.
And then we'll see. LeBron and the Lakers 0-6 on opening night in the King James era. Wow. So they're looking to get off the schneid that way. How about also for the first time in 11 years, LeBron James is no longer the highest annual earner in the NBA, having been surpassed by
Kevin Durant?
No, maybe that guy at Minnesota.
Financial success. Steph Curry. He's the one seed. That's right. His salary, almost $56 million to LeBron's almost $49 million. And then the endorsements, $100 million for Steph Curry, $85 million for LeBron James. Wow. So
I was thinking that silly-ass Rudy Gobert. He's crazy contract like that. You know?
His contract is probably somewhere in that vicinity.
That's why I thought maybe that somehow he'd taken over, like in the, you know, it like jumped even more.
Mm-hmm. Well, it looks like Shams is reporting that the Lakers plan to have the LeBron and Bronny moment tonight, making history, first father-son duo to be on the court at the same time. And apparently, according to Windhorse, it'll be that like start of that second quarter. That's the plan. So looking forward to seeing
that we stand up at the rally,
all the program,
the Jerry West rally jerseys, and wave them.
Yeah. Let's go. it's no doubt going to be emotional for all involved, and hoping I don't shed a tear tonight.
Have we already lifted our banner for the mid-season tournament win?
They did.
Yeah,
we've already done that.
Yeah.
Okay.
They're going for it again this year.
I don't blame them.
Repeat.
The internet is suggesting that there is a separate team group chat that doesn't involve LeBron or Bronny in it. I kind of think like, yeah, you know what? That feels like a guarantee. There is a separate group chat with Laker players, but there is no LeBron or Bronny.
Which player is going to F up and put one of them in it by accident?
Yeah, it's a dangerous game.
I've seen that happen before.
Very dangerous game.
Yep.
I do wonder with the J.J. Redick stuff, and I'm still getting used to the fact that he actually is their coach.
It is weird.
And we were talking about, like, what is Bronny calling LeBron? And LeBron suggested, like, GOAT or whatever. It's pretty funny. But I don't think LeBron is calling J.J. Redick coach. He's just calling him J.J.
J.J.
They'll be on a first-name basis all the time.
Is LeBron older?
LeBron is, I believe he is older than J.J. Redick.
You would be surprised the number of players that call their coaches by their first name.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, maybe Doc. I would. Yeah, I think they all called him Doc.
Yeah. I don't think there's a lot of. Maybe the younger dudes kind of say, "Well, coach, you know, yeah, hey, coach," if they don't know their name or don't remember their name. Because we learned that Nick Saban for 3 years didn't talk to Amari Cooper.
That's true.
I mean, you know, Amari just kind of went by. Yeah. Probably went to school, no problems.
Never had a conversation with him the entire time he's been here.
Yeah. JJ, 6 months older than LeBron, by the way.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. So it is his senior, but yeah, I guess that's a no brainer. Them if players are doing this in general, then LeBron is definitely not calling him coach.
There's a lot of that. Coach gets called by the first name bit.
Okay. All right. Now we also have people texting in about the Mavericks banner.
Maverick. Yeah, it was raised. Yeah, we have one already.
Yeah, there's a video of them putting it up there. First home game there, he'll be able to see the Western Conference champions.
That's a worthy banner.
Absolutely.
Oh, I saw Boston Celtics fans like crapping on it, and I'm like, okay,
we won the Western Conference. We deserve to have a banner.
That conference championship banner you put up.
You get a ring for that.
Yes.
You get a ring for winning your conference.
Now the Brad Davis banner on it.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah.
Brad, you, Brian. Is there a Brad Davis?
There is a Brad Davis.
There
banner,
is one. There is, you know, one. Yeah, number 15.
I wouldn't say all banners up there are well placed, but this conference final.
You didn't like the Bill Goldsworthy one from the Stars?
You know, I just it's sacred ground up there in the rafters. That's all I would say.
Mm. Well, we know that there will be a rafter banner situation going down in Boston as they get opened up here.
How many is this for them?
Wasn't it 18?
Is it 18?
I think it was 18. I think this was number 18.
Yeah, I think this was 18.
Joe Mazzulla, their head coach, here he is responding to a question about some type of pressure to maximize the current championship Boston window.
What kind of pressure do you feel to kind of maximize this opportunity that you have with this group?
Zero. No pressure. We're all going to be dead soon, and it really doesn't matter anymore, so there's zero pressure. You're either going to win or you're not, and when you win, you try to forget about it a week later, and when you lose, you try to forget about it a week later. And so it's not pressure, it's an opportunity.
It's a healthy mindset, I guess. Good luck actually pulling that off, right? If you can walk that walk, salute to you, sir. That is an elevated consciousness.
We're all going to be dead soon. It really doesn't matter anymore.
Words to live by, really.
Yeah, oh, for sure.
Make the most of it.
yes. His perspective is pretty amazing, and the mental toughness factor of it all, I love me some Joe Mazzulla, man.
Let's just kind of walk through for a minute or two the challenges of doing a coaching show with him, asking questions.
You're right.
Yeah.
Could you just go completely wild off topic and just talk
might
about
might be the
anything,
only thing to do, right?
And just try and just like he'll answer anything you ask him kind of a thing?
I think maybe you want to drill down to specifics on, you know, what guys are good at and what they need work on, or, you know, what kind of game plan you're looking at. If you ask any broad philosophical questions, apparently none of that matters. Mm-hmm. You know?
None of it matters. We're all going to die.
Wow. I kind of feel like that die. If you take him off, like...
Is that called a nihilist? Nihilistic?
A nihilistic
Nothing
approach.
Matters. We're all going to die.
Yeah. I don't know.
Okay.
How about that?
I'll Google it.
I don't know.
I think it'd be a challenge to ask him questions.
Yeah, I think so, too. He doesn't seem like the easiest guy to deal with.
No. I mean, that in a good way. I mean it
in a bad way.
Well,
he kind of seems like he thinks he's the smartest person in the room at all times.
He is with me in the room, yeah.
I respect the fact.
Much. I mean, come on.
I'm just giving Joe Mazzulla some credit. He deserves credit.
He did win a championship.
He and I both won championships before. We're champions.
You got them rings. You're champions.
We're both champions.
That's why he should respect you if you're in the room together.
There's no pressure.
Just go ahead and flaunt that Super Bowl ring at him.
Yeah, we're going to die.
Joe Mazzulla, definitely not a nihilist.
We're going to die.
Now that I've looked it up.
What is a nihilist?
Oh, man. I just clicked away from that page.
Oh, sorry.
It's the belief that all values are baseless and that nothing can be known. It's often associated with extreme pessimism and a radical skepticism that condemns existence.
Damn.
So it's not what Joe's looking at. He's just accepting reality.
I'm proud you came
trying
up
to be
with
his
that
best. He's more stoic.
Yeah. Proud you came up with
he's
that
very,
word. Bro. That's pretty,
he is
pretty
very
good.
Stoic.
Yeah.
I love that he's never cranking up the excuse machine for anything.
That's true.
You know, all that stuff. It doesn't matter. It's like, just take everything in stride there. I'm a big fan of his. There's also the disaster. I mean, to be a Sixers fan would just suck so bad, as Joel Embiid and Paul George are going to be out for the opener tomorrow versus the Bucks. Embiid is progressing well and ramping up. And he will be scrimmaging this week, but he will not play this week. Paul George will be reevaluated later in the week. So just par for the course there for both of those individuals and for that team.
If there's a curse for tanking, they definitely got it. And I think that's probably the most miserable that a fan could be right now is Philadelphia, where you've tried so many different combinations. It's all failing. Your star player is always hurt. All I know is free Tyrese Maxey. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Garland's own. Get him out of there.
Absolutely. I wonder what the over-under is on games played. 15?
For Embiid?
For Embiid and Paul George together.
Oh, at the same time?
That's a great question.
This could be
we
like,
ain't playing the back-to-backs, he said.
Yeah, so ever again. And that's 15 games. That's what Ruben was telling me. So he's got at least 15 games Embiid's not going to play.
Right.
For sure.
Yeah.
And then you add in the health of both of them, because this could very much be like Paul George and Kawhi.
20.
They just never ended up playing together. That could happen with the Sixers.
Tough place to be.
It really is, man. Yeah. Okay, speaking of tough place to be, I found myself in my own neighborhood feeling like I was in a tough place because I was scared out of my britches some of the really one specific Halloween decor.
I'm looking at it right
DM'd
now.
DM'd it to all of you guys.
Yeah, I'm looking.
How quickly did you see what it was that freaked me out?
It took me a second.
Did it? Okay.
To notice it.
There. I mean, we're at the point now where, I mean, we're in the midst of the Halloween season, and I'm really blown away with the amount of Halloween lovers in my neighborhood. Like, I feel like in growing up, I don't remember there being a ton of Halloween, like, decor necessarily. It was kind of some basic stuff. Maybe you had the one house that really went all out. But my neighborhood, I got a lot of people going all out. But most of it's, like, pretty innocuous, whatever. But then
the girl in the garage?
This, yeah. Yes, dude.
It looks like the girl from The Ring.
The Ring, yes. It's like some The Ring exorcist chick on the garage door. They have like this black sheet that hangs down in front of their garage door.
Yeah.
And on it, Lucius, do you see this, dude?
Yeah, I think it's dope, man.
I love it,
like,
too.
It. Yeah.
But I love haunted houses and all that stuff. Like, I'm into it.
I love this season right here, bro.
Yeah.
Looks like the garage is empty.
I'm with you, Lucius.
And the Ring girl standing in the middle of the garage.
With like hair covering her entire face. This is clearly a girl that is dead, but she's coming back to life. And she is haunting you at every turn.
This
that
is
scared.
Your neighbor, right?
Yes. This is across the street. I'm like, dude, looking at that, and now I'm used to whatever, but the first time.
Yeah.
Come
It'll
on.
Get you.
Yes. When it's still dark outside in the morning and you're going, because now it's so dark, like even into the 7 o'clock hour now, it's dark all morning. You open it and you're like, what am I looking at here? And then on top of it, do you see that spider there?
Yeah.
In the bottom corner? That spider, if you walk by it.
It moves?
It jumps out.
Oh, no way.
Yes.
That is awesome.
Which is awesome.
Yeah, a little motion detection.
But again.
But the first time, it'll freak you out.
The first time.
Did you run?
My I jumped and my kids all started simultaneously crying.
Oh, no.
It's like family walk, boom. Oh, look, there's a spider, boom, and it leaps out at you like a good.
I hope they have a Ring camera for their own enjoyment. You know what I mean?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
We got six neighbors today, hon. Look at this guy.
That's a great
he dropped his together. Apples.
Yeah, dude. I don't know. I haven't seen something that scary as it pertains to that chick on the garage there, clearly dead. And then that spider deal. I don't know where we draw the line on these things. I guess there is no line. I guess just keep pushing the envelope
as it
pertains to some of this stuff. I did see that the best city for Halloween is
Salem.
It's New York.
Okay.
And then it's Jersey, then it's Miami, then it's Vegas and Chicago.
Like Salem, Massachusetts, like the capital of Halloween?
I think it was the...
a whole lot of murders went on up there, right?
Yeah, the witch hunt. Yeah.
Poor ladies.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good point, Walchuk.
Hocus Pocus.
I don't know how much...
What city's bar has the best Halloween stuff? That's what I want to know.
Ooh, that's a good question.
Which city's bar?
Bars.
So Denton's doing it big. Denton's trying this year.
Because I think that people that give really nice effort for their Hollywood.
That's the Gaborhood.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. Cedar Springs right over here.
Oh, do
they? Amazing Hollywood. I mean, Halloween parties. Yeah. Well, you feel like you're in Hollywood. How about that?
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's amazing.
Number 17.
Where they get all this money? Right around full robot outfits and everything. Transformer outfits. 12 foot high.
Well, I saw from Wallet Hub $11.6 billion projected Halloween spending in 2024.
I'll tell you what, if you're a failed restaurant, you become one of those Halloween stores. Like they take everything out and make it a Halloween
capitalize,
store.
Capitalize, man.
Yeah. Only open a couple of months, pay all the bills.
Yeah. What percentage
of a fireworks stand?
What age do you think is the old enough to go trick or treating by yourself age? At what point do you just like, I don't have to go with you? You
12.
Can handle this.
12 for a girl, 10 for a boy.
Okay.
Yeah, 13.
13.
I went.
It's a weird world now. I don't know.
12 and 12 is what I did.
Yeah, and 100% of parents dip into their kids' Halloween stuff, right?
100%.
Oh, absolutely.
Wallet Hub says more than half, but I'm thinking it's got to be 100%. Maybe 95%.
You always got to check the candy.
Yeah, I'm checking for that bad guy to put the weed gummies in there.
Yeah.
Trying to beat my son to him. Mine.
Mine.
Yeah, I do. Claimed. I am already awaiting those stories from the day after Halloween it's to funny. See who went nuts with it.
Man, I cannot wait. It's a great season. My 3-year-old already knows which candy she likes, and she has decided she's going to be nice by giving me all of the other ones. Like the hard candies, the taffies, the stuff that she doesn't want.
You're getting
she's coming
payday.
Up. She's coming to me like, Daddy, here you go. Yeah. And she's expecting, oh, thank you. You're so generous. But she's getting over, man.
That's great.
She thinks she's doing a favor and getting rid of the candy that she doesn't want. This one's special.
That's brilliant.
Top 10 at 420 coming up. Well, Chuck, where are you taking us?
Well, it is, of course, the return of the NBA. The top 10 NBA players that could play in the NFL. That's next in the nation.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
All right, welcome back, Nation. It's time for Woolchuck's Top 10 at 420 here on The Fan, brought to you by The Frankels. Life's unpredictable. Accidents happen. If you or a loved one's injured in a car or truck wreck in DFW, call The Frankels for a free consultation, 214 or 817-333-3333. Jump online to frankelfirm.com. It's also brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today, carsforkids.org. Here's a Woolchuck. Zach with an H. You're Wooly Bully.
All right, 877-881-1053. Give me the NBA players you think could play in the NFL. We'll get to this in just a moment. Do need to shout out happy birthday to Jackson today, who's 14 years old. 469 said they watched the Rangers win their first ever ALCS. Moments later, their son was born. So that is incredible. What an amazing story. Happy birthday, Jackson. We love you here with the G-Bag Nation. I did see this, Brian. This is an answer to one of your questions. Who are the Shanahan stoppers among defensive coordinators? I'll give you three.
Spags, for sure.
Kyle Shanahan, 0-5 in his career against Steve Spagnuolo.
Mm-hmm.
0-3 against Brian Flores.
That was the next one.
1-8 all-time versus Jim Schwartz.
Oh, Cleveland Browns.
They all run similar schemes, and those are the three that have had the most success. In fact, I mean, one win out of the bunch there versus Kyle Shanahan-led offenses. That is stunning.
Mm-hmm. I remember Jim Schwartz last year. We were watching the San Francisco was down personnel, but I was curious because they had mauled Dallas. And then the next week they played Cleveland, and I'm watching Schwartz, and he runs like what they call the robber, that too high, and then they drive the safety.
Clog the middle.
They drive the safety, and they didn't let any crossing routes develop.
Which is what they love to do.
Yeah. Well, the numbers on the press man stuff, it's like it's not just the man-to-man coverage, but then it's the really pressing you, and that's what the Chiefs have done at a huge rate versus him back to the Super Bowl and just the other day, and other teams that have had success being able to really disrupt the receivers at the line of scrimmage, because so much of that Shanahan stuff is the timing and everything.
Absolutely.
So the teams that can really play press man against you or against them are the ones that have had the most success. The numbers on it are pretty interesting.
That makes a lot of sense. And yeah, I saw the numbers on Spags and in that coverage. It really worked to perfection. That's a team that's also turning over corners, but they seem to just find a way to get it done. Shout out to Daniel and Forney, who is a longtime bleeder. Happy birthday to Elizabeth, who's 1 year old today as well. All right. We also did get an update that Debo Samuel out of the hospital. He was in the hospital yesterday dealing with pneumonia. He has been released from the hospital today. So still not sure how he's going to develop during the course of the week. if he's going to be able to play on Sunday. But good news for him that he is out of the hospital. Let's get to the list. 877-881-1053. Which NBA players do you think could actually play in the National Football League? Went ahead and I knew this was a conversation that had been taking place for a while now, but Anthony Edwards spiced it up a little bit as he had this to say.
Yeah, I think it's easier, yeah.
Football, for y'all?
Football players can't go play basketball.
You crazy.
No way. I told my buddies, I said, if I win a ring in the next 3 to 4 years.
You're not going to football.
I'm going to play football.
No, you're not.
If he gets himself a ring, and I'm sure Minnesota Timberwolves fans are looking like, well, it better be with the Vikings if you're going to do this. But we don't want you to leave. But yeah, you go ahead and win a ring. I'd like to see if this actually ends up happening.
You know, I think Anthony Edwards says some things every now and then for effect without thinking it through. And I just think this is an example of it. I want to salute the fact that at least he makes it entertaining. You know, yeah. But there's no way you walk. He's going to be making $50-60 million a year in
there's
the NBA.
There's no way this
for sure.
Absolutely
yes,
no chance.
It's not happening. I would love to see it. It would be wonderful. Entertainment through the roof. And it's understandable that a guy with his athleticism, and I don't know what type of, I wonder what type of football player he was, how much of a football background he has. Maybe he was nasty in high school or something like that. But like when you are as big and athletic as he is, it's fair to think that you could probably do just about anything.
There's a grit factor, though, that you got to have to be a football player.
Right.
You know,
right.
And I think that's what we wouldn't know. But there's plenty of guys that are strong enough, fast enough, athletic enough that they could do it.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
Physically.
But the grit factor is part of the reason why, for this list, Wolchuk, I've thought about this for a long time, Russell Westbrook as a football player.
And Westbrook's an honorable mention on this list.
Holy smokes,
6'3", 200 pounds, ability to change direction on a dime, accelerate quickly would also make him a valuable asset as a receiver out of the backfield.
He sounds like,
or as a running back.
He feels like the kind of, see, to me, I'm thinking he is an athletic all-around safety.
Okay.
Ready to take people's faces off over the middle of the field, but also athletic enough and fast enough and quick enough to cover, be a center fielder, basically, at 6'3 or 6'4.
Yeah. Or he just run through a mofo's face over.
Could be an incredible corner.
And over again.
Yeah. I mean,
he's a good one.
If Westbrook wanted to play football at 8 years old or whatever, I think there's a handful of positions he could have been great at in the NFL.
Looks like Anthony Edwards did not play high school football, as he had already switched over to basketball.
He says,
he played Little League, and apparently he was dominant in Little League.
That does not surprise me. They just did the reenactment of the Justin Jefferson and Anthony Edwards just did the Kevin Garnett and Randy Moss photo,
which is awesome.
Yeah, it's awesome. And Carter has it. He can throw it on the fan cam there. But there's a video and there's a sit down, a whole ESPN like interview conversation with Justin Jefferson and Anthony Edwards, and one of their interactions involves Anthony Edwards telling him, like, dude, I could meet Derrick Henry in the hole. He's like, I don't even lift weights. Anthony Edwards is basically, I don't even lift weights, dude. He's like, if I did, I would be as big as Derrick Henry is.
That's unreal.
Because he is 6'4", 225. He's like, if I actually lifted weights, I would be 250 pounds as well, just like Derrick Henry.
Wow.
I just want to be born again with that kind of athleticism naturally.
Gosh,
just let me live a couple of days like that.
That's crazy. Yes, exactly. Let me just give me like maybe one calendar year. Just what does this feel like, dude?
214 says would love Steven Adams on the Cowboys O-line. Okay, he's an honorable mention on this list as well. He comes in at number 13 NBA players most likely to make it to the NFL.
A 7-foot tackle? Could that work?
I feel like he'd be my edge. He'd be my
Dan
first
skipper.
He's my first and second down and fourth and inches edge.
Yeah. Massive frame, powerful blocking, could create running lanes, and as a defensive player, he certainly would be difficult to block. When you look at the arm length, I mean, it'd be tough to throw over him.
You got to have twitch and bend, though.
You do.
I'm going to bulk him up and play him at defensive tackle, Brian.
You got any names you want to throw out there, Lucius, any NBA players?
Yeah. I wrote some down during the break. How about KG as a wide receiver? Kevin Garnett?
Yeah.
See that?
Trash talk.
Yeah. Red zone threat for sure.
Yeah. Super tall.
Throw it up.
Carmelo, put him on my defense somewhere.
Yeah.
Charles Barkley, I want him on my defense too.
Oh my gosh.
Especially good young Charles Barkley. He's strong as hell, man.
Boy, strong.
Goodness.
Yeah.
Last one, Nate Robinson.
Yes. Oh, yeah. He was a great player at Washington.
Yep, he was. 11 on the outside, just looking in, is Jaylen Brown. They've got him as a wide receiver, 6'6", 233, explosive athleticism, physicality, can make him an intriguing prospect as a wide receiver in the NFL. He's got elite vertical leap and ability to attack the rim in the NBA, can translate well to the football
field. This is basically Calvin Johnson. This is Megatron. Like,
Like, these guys are huge, man.
Strong body allows him to absorb hits and maintain possession of the ball. I mean, we've got, like, full-on breakdowns here. I love
this. Who did this? Who put together this?
Fadeaway World.
Okay. Did they put Colin Sexton on that list?
Colin Sexton.
He's 6'3", he's 6'3", 190.
Receiver.
His nickname is Young Bull.
All right.
So I'm thinking maybe
Colin
Sexton
isn't in the top 10. He might be one of the honorable mention guys.
How about Banchero from
the... Yeah, Banchero's on here.
Banchero was on here.
He was an honorable mention as well. Yeah, they've 6'10", got him as a tight end.
255, I think he is.
Yeah.
It's got to be Giannis in there, though, right?
Oh, yeah.
Giannis. I think Giannis is in the top 10. So number 10 is Tatum. Now, I don't think Tatum... I'd go Brown over Tatum because there's a little bit of more of like a dog physicality with Brown over Tatum.
But Tatum would be like a good aloof quarterback, maybe.
A little Eli Manning.
Yeah, Jay Cutler. Yeah.
Nine is De'Aaron Fox.
Oh, so quick. Yeah.
At 6'3", 185, you can play him at receiver or running back. As a running back, the speed and acceleration could make him a dangerous weapon in the open field.
So fun to watch.
Donovan Mitchell? 6'3", 215.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That dude's a running back.
Just a powerful guy.
Damn, Donovan Mitchell didn't make the top 10.
Strong safety. Yeah.
There's a lot of guards, though. Yeah. But I think Donovan Mitchell's a great pull.
Yeah, okay. It is.
Sorry. Number 8 is Jimmy Butler. 6'7", 230. Could play receiver or corner. Combination of size, toughness, work ethic.
Let's be real. He's not playing corner. No. You're not a 6'7 corner.
Well, I mean, the reality is all of these guys are
maybe defensive
probably
end.
Too freaking big to play.
He might play in. That would be
the mentality to play corner. I could see that.
He couldn't pedal and turn like you probably wanted.
But I don't think we've seen a corner that's taller than what? 6'4"? It's kind of the cutoff there. Yeah, like Pat Watkins at safety was way too damn tall.
You get a leggy guy, it's hard to turn.
7 is Draymond Green.
Okay.
6'6", 230. They got him a linebacker.
Yeah.
See, he's a blocking tight end is what he is.
Okay.
Yeah.
6, we've got Ja Morant.
Ooh.
That's explosive.
Quarterbacks, dual threat. The
one. Slot.
Got great vision.
Receiver, running back, 6'3", 174. Ooh. You could use him as a Jason Tatum type of guy if you want a quarterback. But speed, agility, the quick twitch that he's got there, they think that he could be really elusive.
And with all the leadership factor as well, that's a quarterback for sure.
No doubt.
He likes to work out of the shotgun.
He loves the shotgun.
I don't know. I think he likes the pistol.
Pistol.
Number 5 is Zion.
He should be number
284.
This guy's so fast.
Yep, tight end, defensive end.
284?
He's lost a little weight, hadn't he?
He has lost a little weight.
This guy could play next weekend.
Now he's 284.
Well, yeah, Zion. It might be a deck chair off the Titanic.
Zion could do this thing.
His deck with an E, by the way. How tall is he?
They've got him at 6'6", 284.
6'6", 284. Yeah.
Unreal.
That's an offensive.
That's a three technique.
Yeah, either way, dude. Yeah. Tear it up. Yeah.
4 is Jalen Suggs. 6'4", 205. They've got him at quarterback. He actually played high school quarterback. Oh. Apparently, was really damn good. Natural athlete. He was ranked as the top 15 dual threat quarterback in Minnesota.
Charlie Ward's not on
as a high school
right?
player.
I think Grady Dick was his receiver.
Really?
They were on the same high school team.
Suggs and Dick.
Yeah, right. you just.
Number
one,
3
one of the greatest duos of all time.
Yeah. Anthony Edwards. I see what you're doing there. Fell right into that one.
Yeah, absolutely.
Brian. So inappropriate.
That's not me.
You guys are just
Anthony
out of
Edwards
your gourd.
Is number 3 at 6'4", 225.
Mm-hmm.
2 is Giannis. This guy's a pterodactyl. My gosh, what are you going to do with Giannis out here?
You 6'11", field goals?
242? Yeah.
I think he could be the first guy to throw a touchdown to himself.
Remember Margus Hunt?
Yes.
SMU.
Cincinnati Bengals, SMU.
He would be like Margus Hunt there on special teams.
More athletic.
Absolutely. Yeah. But just, my gosh, a blocking nightmare when it came to field goals. Number 1, though, number 1 player to go from the NBA to the NFL is indeed the king himself on this list, LeBron James.
Mm-hmm.
Played tight end, wide receiver, safety, put him wherever you want. They say 6'9", 250. Could have played any sport if he wanted to, but obviously chose basketball. But, I mean, hey, at his age, I think there's others you could rank ahead of him all
chose
time.
Chose basketball.
I get
you ever seen his highlights in high school?
He's a freak.
Nasty.
Yeah, quarterback trash. Oh my God, the quarterback
was he
trash.
A bad ball catcher?
Oh, my, yes.
He was the BBC?
Just setting him up just to get exploded in the middle.
How did you not have him at quarterback? How could LeBron not be good at passing? I guess it's a different motion.
You might not have the whip on it.
But in high school, that's often the thing. You put your best athletic quarterback.
Yeah.
And LeBron had to.
We don't have to pass. We have LeBron. Maybe he didn't play quarterback to not that's get hurt freaky. For basketball. I don't know. Thank you, Woolchuck.
Thank you.
Top 10 at 420 every afternoon here on 105 through the Fan. Pick up your G-Bag flag this week. Thursday will be at Richardson Bar and Grill. Friday will be at Buffalo Wild Wings in Grand Prairie off 20 there. Hope you can join us. Mark Schlereth brought to you by Hellman's Mayonnaise coming up next right here. A Week 8 NFL discussion for you on 105.3 The Fan. Thank you very much, Lucius. It is time now for Mark Schlereth to join us, our Odyssey NFL insider, host of the Stinkin' Truth podcast. Insider calls brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. Mayo game day be delicious. And here he is. Good afternoon, Stink. How the heck are you?
I'm doing great. How are you guys doing?
We're doing pretty good. You know, had a very eventful week here at the Fan. You know, I think the big question right now is, are the Niners banged up enough? Like, how bad are they? Could the Cowboys actually beat them?
Yeah, I mean, that's a great question. And I don't know who's going to be available. You know, if Juwan Jennings comes back, he had a hip injury. I don't know where Debo, it doesn't feel like he's in the hospital right now with some form of pneumonia. So it doesn't sound like he's going to be clear to play. Obviously, they're trying to get Christian McCaffrey back after the bye week. But, you know, the big thing that you would lean on, obviously, if you're a Niners fan or, you know, if you're Kyle Shanahan, is we got to get our run game going. Dallas has been a sieve when they played against really good run teams. So can we get that run game going, and can we create some play action with some of our young wide receivers, some of our young players to have some success in that, you know, in that fashion or in that aspect of our offensive game plan. But, yeah, the Niners are beat to a pulp. There's no question about it.
Can the Cowboys run against them like the Chiefs got loose on the other night?
Yeah, probably not. I mean, you know, again, like nothing, you always look at kind of what comes out of the bye week, right? What can you do in the bye week? And, you know, there used to be a time like when back in my day where the bye week was like, go back to training camp practices. Let's work on the crap we haven't worked on. Let's work on the stuff that, you know, that we need to get better at. Let's work on technique. Let's work on all the different things, the nuance of blocking and some of the schemes that we're lacking in and stuff. And you just don't do that in today's game, right? I mean, you don't put on full pads and go beat each other up and try to get better at that stuff. So you're not doing that. You haven't changed personnel last time I checked. So you still, you know, lack the personnel and the execution of that personnel to be, you know, to be significantly better. Can you get better? Certainly. Can you have a little bit better technique on some things? Absolutely. But, you know, the issue with the game to me is you don't work on those things. So I always, like, it's funny. I was at a game, calling a game in Detroit a year ago and just bumped into Roger Goodell, and he talked about, hey, what are we going to do to protect the quarterbacks and how are we going to, you know, fix this quarterback injury situations that we have right now? And, you know, my response to him was, you got to practice. You, like, running the football is that's a skill. Like, I always say, like offensive line is the most skilled position in football. It always pisses me off when people talk about, oh, skill position players, really? Mm-hmm. Like, really? Because I can line up and, you know, we could go out and play catch. I could throw a football to you and you could throw it back to me. If we did one-on-ones, I'd whip your ass.
Yeah.
Like, there's no way, like, you're going to be able to compete with me in that because there's a skill. And then you talk about offensive line and the run game in general. Collectively, we're the worst athletes on the football field. And we're expected to, you know, we're always playing against a guy who's a better athlete than us. And we're expected to win 100% of the battles. And if I give up one sack or I make one bad play, you know, after I could whip your ass for 65 plays in a row, if I give up one sack, you go to the Pro Bowl and I'm a piece of garbage. Mm-hmm. So there's an unbelievable skill involved in running the football. There's an unbelievable skill involved in protecting against guys who are better athletes than us. And ultimately, we no longer work on it. So we go out there and say, hey, man, make sure you block these guys. But we're not going to actually, you know, work on the fit. We're not actually going to come off the ball. We're not actually going to do the things that are required to be really good at that when you're a lesser athlete. Like, it is mind-boggling to me. And a lot of the things that we do as a league in general, it's the unintended consequences of stupidity. Like, we take all these things out to make the game safer, to make the game this, or make the game this, or we think we're going to avoid injuries. And ultimately, the game gets worse and more guys get hurt because they're not as skilled as they used to be. So, you know, I know I'm old guy standing on, you know, the porch yelling at clouds, but that has a lot to do with the with some of the, you know, just some of the bad play that is out there and the bad execution that is out there right now as we watch this product.
It's Mark Schlereth with you, and you yelling at clouds is some great content, Mark. We absolutely love your football wisdom. The Insider Call is brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. You can purchase Hellman's at your local Walmart, Kroger, or grocery store to add extra deliciousness and creamy flavor to your game day dishes this football season.
Sting, I saw Breakfast Ball. You kind of gave your colleagues there at FS1 some love when it came to you're never picking the 49ers to beat the Chiefs again as long as they've got Reed and Mahomes. But how much credit does Steve Spagnuolo need to get when it comes to that as well? Never been beaten by one of those Shanahan offenses. We talked to you about this a few weeks ago. Defensively, what is it the Chiefs are doing to just give the 49ers so many fits?
Yeah, they are really, I mean, they are really good, and they're playing exceptional football. And, you know, I mean, ultimately, they're defending the run. They've got a couple of guys that are really stout. I think they play with an aggressiveness, downhill aggressiveness. Spagnuolo's just got them coached up, and they read it. They understand what they're looking at. And then they've got some guys on the outside that can play man-to-man. And so they get to the point where they're like, hey, man, we're going to commit guys to the run game. We understand this run game. I think they do a really good job of not getting off their marks, not getting out of their gaps. And so part of the beauty of the Shanahan offense, when you look at what Shanahan does, what Mike McDaniels does in Miami, I'm studying the Miami game right now because I've got that this weekend. Or you look at LaFleur with all the motions and the shifts and the different ways to attack an edge. They just basically get leverage and they get kind of position on you with those motions. And I think Kansas City does a really good job of not overreacting to that stuff and understanding like the scheme and what they're doing. And, you know, one of the ways, and I always look at kind of the edge and how they do this with personnel, like you can line up on the edge and let's just call it 18 handoff and you can block 18 handoff. You can get in two tights west, right? And you can block that edge with those two tight ends. And, you know, you can roll off to a safety that's rolled down, right? And you can block it that way, or you can keep a tight end out there. You can arc release that tight end, make it look like you're blocking that defensive end, and then have a fullback load him, right? So it's still 18 handoff, but now you've blocked that edge two different ways. Now I can get on that edge without a fullback and I get tight end to tackle to block that guy. And so we're still running 18 handoff, but now it's a whole different look that you're looking at as that defensive end. So I just gave you one play, 18 handoff, and I give you three different ways to block that defensive end. I could come up with another three just as sure as I'm sitting here in 2 seconds. And ultimately that defensive end now has defended one play, but he's defended six different schemes against him. And so for our defense, it looks like six different, separate, different plays, especially to the edge of that defense. But for the offense, two guys exchange what they're doing. And ultimately, nine guys are doing the exact same thing they do every time you call 18 handoff. So it makes it really confusing to the edge of that defense on what this play is, how am I getting blocked, and ultimately, how many times are you going to run that in a game? Five or six? Well, I just blocked it five different ways or six different ways. So it really becomes one of those things that for an offense it's pretty easy, but for a defense it's really confusing and it really looks weird. And ultimately, Kansas City does a really good job of not having bad eyes in those situations. And then because they do such a good job, they make San Francisco play a drop back game. And that's not what San Francisco's good at. They're just not really a drop back team. They're a run the ball first team. Set up the hard run action, play action off of that, and occasionally some play pass stuff, which is the deeper seven-step drops where you're keeping six, seven, eight guys in and running two-man routes. So that's what they do exceptionally well, and maybe it's just because they've seen a lot. You know, Spag sees it within his own division or has seen it within his division, but the guy's just really exceptional at getting his players to play fast and hard and just really smart football is the biggest thing.
Hey, Mark, what locker room reaction would you have had as a player if your head coach called you soft in a press conference?
Yeah, that is the dirtiest four-letter word in football. And, you know, there's a difference, I think, you know, when you talk about Gerard Mayo, there's a difference between saying we played soft and then calling me soft, right? Right. Calling me soft is, those are fighting words. And, hey, we played soft today. That, there's a difference because, like, as much as that pains me to hear and as much as it, you know, pains me to even think about, there's some games where I've, there's some games certainly where as an offense and even individually, like I played soft. I wasn't what I wanted to be. And like, those are the films, when you see those film, those are the films that you just want to destroy. Can we bury that in a pit and never bring it back up? I don't ever want to see that again. It's embarrassing. So, those are things, man, that really hurt you as a player. So, but the bottom line as a player also, is it true? Like, I always think about it from that standpoint. Is it true? Did we play soft? And, I remember saying it on the radio in Denver years ago. I got a phone call from Derek Wolfe, who was a great player for the Broncos. And, you know, I was doing radio, he was playing. So you know, it's right after the whole no fly zone. You know, it's a couple of years later, and after like a year or two years after they won the Super Bowl, and I called their defense soft on the radio, and he was livid. You know, I got a call from him, and I was like, "Let me just ask you a question. You guys gave up 220 yards. He got 220 yards on the ground, 220 yards rushing," and I go, "I don't know what you call that, but in my day we call that soft." Right.
Yeah.
And ultimately, you know, like we're tight, but he was mad. But I was like, dude, is it true? Did you guys play? Like, did you guys get run through? And, you know, ultimately you can't defend it. Right. And so if it's true and you played collectively, you played soft. Well, then guess what? The truth hurts and you got to wear that damn thing and then you got to go out and correct it.
Yeah, go fix it. Well said, Mark. Appreciate your thoughts. Enjoy week 8. We'll catch up with you next week.
Sounds good, guys. Take care.
Salute. Odyssey NFL insider Mark Schlereth, host of the Stinkin' Truth podcast. Insider calls brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. May your game day be delicious. I know football's finest is delicious every afternoon. Chief, what's in store for us?
We got a couple of podium coaches. What's right with the Chiefs and what's wrong with these Niners next in the nation?